News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, so listen, but this is the part where I usually tell you too, by the way, if you get yourself driving down the road and realize you're leaving the overly broad range of our AM FM capability here at WVNN, which like pretty much means you're out of North Alabama, South Tennessee at that point. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you are in the whole wide world, just go to the World Wide Web and go to rightsideradio.org. That's our website. Let me tell you what all's on there. Lots of doings on that website, but one of them is go to rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is. You can stream the show live anywhere in the world. That's why we have so many listeners in so many places. So that's on rightsideradio.org. Listen Live, no matter where you are in the world. Here's the other thing that's on there. Big doings on this is we have the Right Side Store up and running. The Right Side Store, I've been talking about it lately. You can get coffee mugs, you can get t-shirts, you can get, you know, stickers, you can get phone cases. And my favorite, which I always talk about, and I get all the kidding and the funny looks from it, but you can get socks. Right Side Radio socks. How cool is that? Socks. So, yes, on the Right Side Store, you can order all that. That's also on our website, rightsideradio.org. And then you can also get our podcast, which is going like epically good right now. Is that a word? Epically? Is that right, Copper? Did I say epically? Can I say epically?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, thanks. Epically. If it's not right, it is now. But anyway, the bottom line is go to our website, and you can find the podcast. Because every day, Copper takes a show, carves it up in segments, gets it all ready, and then Birdman uploads it into the various formats, like all of them. If you're an Amazon, if you're a Podbean, if you're an Apple, doesn't matter. All your versions of podcasting are on our website. And every single day, like, we're seeing massive amounts of downloads. So we're going to hit 30,000 here very soon in terms of downloads, which I don't know what a lot is, but that feels like a lot. But now here's a new thing. I got to tell you guys about this. So we got an event coming up, and I am now free to go ahead and begin advertising it with a special for Right Side Ruffians. All right. So here's the deal. March the 10th, coming up very soon, March the 10th, we have, you know, I work with the Alabama Policy Institute, and API, the Alabama Policy Institute, has a dinner event at Burritt on the Mountain right here in Huntsville. So Burritt on the Mountain, March the 10th, it's a Thursday evening beginning at 6. The program begins at 7. Yours truly, me, Phil Williams, is the keynote speaker for the event. And I'm looking forward to meeting a bunch of you out there. So here's the thing. The tickets are for sale on the rightsideradio.org website. There's a little button you can click on there to go buy your tickets online. You have to have a ticket. But here's the deal. I got it worked out. Half price for Right Side listeners. So if you go on there right now and you're buying a ticket to the event, when you go to check out, there's a place where you can put a promo code in. Just type in Right Side. Now, people are coming from all over the state for this, so not everybody's getting this promo code. I'm just saying it's our Right Side Ruffians. If you're listening, you're the ones that are going to get the promo code. Go on there, type in the promo code. It cuts the price in half for the ticket. Love to have you there that night. Love to meet you. Love to see you there. It's going to be a great event celebrating conservatism. The Policy Institute, the work it's been doing, 1819 News is going to be there, and I will be the keynote speaker for Right Side Radio. So anyway, that's on March the 10th. Copper, you're coming that night too, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we'll get Copper and Birdman both there. So there you go. So if you're hearing the voices and you want to meet the faces, that's the night to do it, right there at Burritt on the Mountain in Huntsville, March the 10th. So keep that in mind. Copper, apparently we sold a bunch of socks yesterday, just so you know.
Yes, I had one caller say that they were ordering socks.
Do we have a new fashion trend? I mean, if I sold Right Side bowling shoes, I wonder if that would work. I don't know, but I'm digging it. In fact, I'm actually ordering some more tonight. I already told Charlene. I said, I've got the one pair, but I'm going to have more. So I'm getting socks. We need to get you some socks. You need Right Side socks.
That's right. Just, how fuzzy are they, though? That's the real question.
I don't know if they're the ones I've got are not fuzzy. So I don't think these are like fuzzy socks. Hmm. I think they're smoking cool, though. They are. Yeah. So if you want some smoking cool Right Side socks, there you go. They're on our website, our Right Side store. All right, listen, lots of stuff happening. At 3 o'clock, my buddy Jeff Poore is going to call in. We're going to be talking politics. You're going to want to hear. I mean, I've got a list right now. I've got a stack of paper here of all the endorsements flying in. What do they mean in the U.S. Senate race? Who cares if somebody gets endorsed by so-and-so or that association or this list that only endorses women? Does it matter? I don't know. We're going to break it down. Between now and then, we're going to be talking about the Freedom Convoy. I just think it's worth updating. And I'm going to remind you guys of a piece of U.S.-Canadian history to make sure to lead off that segment. That's coming up next. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right here on the News Talk powerhouse of North Alabama and the biggest show across the northern part of our state, thanks to all of you, is this one, Right Side Radio. Thanks so much. You have no idea. By the way, that's not just like a trite thank you. Oh, we got to thank. No, I appreciate this audience like more than you could possibly imagine. So it's an honor to be on this air every day and to know that there are people who are actually listening. So thank you for making the show successful. Hey, listen, first part of the Triple Dipper, support for the fight is what I'm calling it. Support for the fight. I'm looking at a fact that we've got a situation going on that has inspired movements worldwide. I've talked about it multiple times on the show. You're all hearing about it, especially if you watch, you know, more conservative news outlets like the ones that the liberal news outlets want this thing to go, you know, badly. They want it to be seen as a failure. But it's not. It's inspiring people worldwide. And copper, the word you're looking for is right side. I see that on the board. So right side. I'm interrupting real quick to make sure she knows something for a caller. So anyway, all said and done, folks, listen, let me just remind you of a piece of history. The first Special Service Force, how many of y'all are familiar with that? All right, so you know my background in special operations. I've spent some time in amongst other special operations units here and there. I was proud to be a member of the 20th Special Forces Group here in Alabama. And the history of special forces, what they do in military parlance, if you're not familiar, a lot of times they have a lineage. They relate back in history to prior units. Sometimes it's their own unit. Like, for instance, when I was a battalion commander for the 167th Infantry, well, it's been the 167th Infantry, dating back to 1836. It was the 4th Alabama Militia, and then eventually it was federalized and became the 167th, but it's always been the same unit. That being said, some units morph, some change, and they trace their lineage to prior units. Well, in this case, understand that part of the legacy of Special Forces, the Green Berets in the U.S. Army, is a unit called the 1st Special Service Force. If you've ever seen the patch that Special Forces in our U.S. Army wear, it's an arrowhead shape. An arrowhead shape with a sword and lightning bolts. That arrowhead shape is a part of the legacy that came from the 1st Special Service Force. They were a combined Canadian-American commando unit in World War II. And there were movies written made about them. There were books written about them. There were any number of exploits within their unit that were epic in scale. The 1st Special Service Force, elite American Canadian commando unit under the command of the U.S. 5th Army, it was organized in 1942 up at Fort William Henry Harrison near Helena, Montana. I have trained at Fort Harrison, which still exists as a National Guard training site in Montana. In fact, I trained up there several times. Earned my German jump wings there when we had Germans come in and train with us. But the 1st Special Service Force is literally a commando unit that served in various capacities, fought through Italy, southern France. I mean, it didn't continue on past World War II, but the history of what they did and their arrowhead patch became part of our current Special Forces. But the thing that I bring it up for now is the fact that we're watching right now the level of support being given to our Canadian brothers and sisters as they protest tyranny, as they protest the idea that the basic freedoms that they've experienced all along, that the life that they've had driving as truckers, for that matter, just truckers originally. They were the original protesters in this, were just the truckers, because they had been considered essential to the government's function until suddenly Justin Trudeau won his re-election and wanted to make sure he put some powerful mandates in place and be the guy. Oh, I can do even more mandates than what Biden's doing. I can do all the mandates. I've got them. And he made it to the point that some truckers were literally going to lose their careers, literally, because their government decided they were no longer indispensable. The first Special Service Force, if you look at their arrowhead patch, it has in white letters, USA Canada. I read in one of the historical records that as they served together, initially there was a lot of competition. There was a lot of vying back and forth. There was a lot of, you know, you're Canadian, I'm American, don't you know who's better, yada, yada, fights in the mess halls. But as they went and fought the enemy, as they stood up next to each other side by side, as they got in the same foxholes, as they fought their way through Italy, and I believe they fought at Monte Cassino, and then on into France, there was one part where I read that said that they could no longer remember who was Canadian and who was American. That they would sit and talk to each other in downtime and find with surprise that someone was born in Ontario as opposed to Michigan. Well, folks, right now what you're seeing, I'm looking at this number one on the Triple Dipper. I wanted to tell you, first of all, there's been a huge amount of support for the Freedom Convoy. Financial support, not just verbal support. Here's a story off Fox News, dated this morning. U.S. small donors helped to fuel the Canadian Freedom Convoy, as confirmed by GiveSendGo. GiveSendGo is the fund site right now that is raising money or allowing crowdfunding for the Freedom Convoy. And right now they're saying that of the $9 million that they have raised so far, over half of it appears to have come in small amounts, like less than $100 each, from U.S. citizens. I'm just saying, that's very cool. And I couldn't help but think of the first Special Service Force with their patch that said USA Canada, because, yeah, they're different in terms of their politics, and they're different in terms of the fact that they've got, you know, a big chunk of their country that speaks French and not English. They're different in the fact that they are a truly different sovereign nation, but they're not so different in the fact that many of their people feel like they are losing their freedoms and don't want to see it gone. And I love the fact right now, by the way, that over half of the donations that have added up to $9 million in the second iteration of fundraising, because the first one went away, if you recall. In the second iteration of fundraising, over half the donations came in small change, if you will, from U.S. citizens supporting their Canadian brothers and sisters. And I love that. One trucker said that he told Fox Business in this article he believes the protest has brought Americans and Canadians closer together. I believe that's true. I think most of us don't pay attention to what's across the border. One Canadian trucker, part of the convoy, told Fox Business he can't speak to the numbers, but that he has received an outpouring of support from Americans he does business with from Florida, New Mexico, and Georgia. He said a handful of them call him regularly saying, "We're really vouching for you. We're praying for you guys," and it's encouraging. He's even had someone say, "If they take your truck, I'll buy you a new one." And that kind of encouragement from south of the border for them is keeping them going. So what is all this Freedom Convoy stuff? Wall Street Journal, I've got a piece right here written yesterday. It did a good kind of a recitation of where they are, what they've been doing. And I think most of you know the story, but the bottom line is this started way to the west in British Columbia, a small handful of truckers who were livid that after driving through all of the pandemic and being told that they were essential, suddenly they were no longer essential enough, and they had a new mandate, and they couldn't even drive, by the way, into some areas of their own country, much less cross the U.S. border without vaccination. And while many of them have been vaccinated, something like 80-85% of the trucking industry in Canada has been vaccinated, many of them haven't, which still adds up to a sizable number. But what you're seeing right now is not a anti-vax protest. What you're seeing is a protest for freedoms. It's really, like I said, it's gotten worldwide in its scope. It's gotten inspiration level activity in Europe and in Australia and in New Zealand. It's caught fire even in the United States. People are sending in their millions in small change. Well, as the situation has unfolded, just know this. February 14th, 2 days ago, Justin Trudeau, the uber-liberal chameleon who serves as the premier of Canada, arguing that national security was now at risk, according to the Wall Street Journal, he says, took the extraordinary step of invoking temporary emergency powers under their national security legislation. Now, mind you, this is a law that's been on the books, but it is something that, according to this article, has ever rarely been used. It was originally designed to combat terrorism in the wake of 9/11. According to the order, the government can ban protests that police believe would lead to unlawful activity. It can prohibit gatherings near critical infrastructure, such as border crossings or anything else they deem critical. It can allow authorities to commandeer tow trucks and require them to remove demonstrators' vehicles. In other words, forcing. That's conscription. That's conscription. That's telling your business what you will do to impact that business, and you will do it or we'll shut down your business. That's what they're saying right now. There's also provisions in there covering financial transactions in an effort to target protesters' cash. And you know, that means they're going straight to the crowdfunding sites. They're trying to stop the raising of funds for these protesters. This has literally been going on for quite some time. Right now, polls are out. Is support for the fight is the name of this Triple Dipper segment. Ipsos Public Affairs is a polling organization in Canada. They did a poll. They said on February 8th or 9th, says that 46% of Canadians surveyed suggested they don't necessarily agree with everything the protesters in Ottawa and elsewhere are advocating. But nonetheless, 46% of them say their frustrations are legitimate and worthy of sympathy. I'm not sure how to take that. We don't like all of it, but we think it's worthy of sympathy. Anyway, the bottom line is 46% say, yeah, we get it. We get it. 54% believe the protests are wrong and don't deserve any sympathy. Another polling organization called the Angus Reid Institute said that a survey done between February 11th and 13th suggested that over 70% of respondents oppose the measures sought by the protesters, which, by the way, I'm calling bunk on that one. They do not have 70, you do not watch the news on this thing. You do not see people lining the highways, having parties in the streets, waving flags on the bridges, and giving up their potential for livelihood by camping out in front of the Capitol. You do not see the tens of thousands gathering in Ottawa or blocking bridges or risking arrest. Not 70%. I'm throwing down the bunko card on that one. So listen, some things that are coming out of the U.S. you might want to hear, and we'll go to a break right now. Copper, go ahead and move us to a break, but you might want to hear some of the top names in the United States that are doing things like, Mike Lindell, the pillow guy. What's he doing? It gets interesting. And there's, by the way, there's an Alabama connection. I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back to support the fight. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Getting some grief by text a little while ago over how much I talk about the socks on the Right Side store. I will point out they are the biggest selling item we've got. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway, back to the point at hand. So number one, the Triple Dipper. I'm talking about support the fight. Support the fight. So you got the Canadian Freedom Convoy going on. It's inspiring freedom convoys all over. We're sensing one. There's no official start date for it that I know of. Here in the United States, they're certainly going on in Australia, New Zealand, I believe Sweden, Denmark. We're seeing them pop up all over the place. Well, the support for that has been pretty amazing. Some of it's been who's supporting them and what they're doing. Some of it's been money. I mentioned to you earlier, $9 million apparently has been raised in the latest iteration of fundraising. $9 million. There was $10 million the first time before GoFundMe decided to back off. Well, here's one that's kind of interesting, though. I did not know this until this morning. But the night before last, MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, you know Mike Lindell, he's ultra conservative. He becomes controversial for some people, but the reality is he's just a solid businessman who believes in things and he stands by what he believes. And he puts his money where his mouth is. So MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, according to the Independent, dated February 14th, has announced plans to send pillows to Canadian truckers protesting the vaccine mandate. Now, that may sound trivial. Some of you may go, sending pillows? Let me tell you something. First of all, that's his livelihood. So he's taking his inventory and giving it away. That means something. It's also symbolic. He is taking it to a place that the establishment, that the oppressive government actions are pushing down on, and he's giving them something to bring them comfort. And number three, they're camping out. Wouldn't you want to have a good pillow? Heck. So anyway, MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell announced plans to send pillows to Canadian truckers protesting the vaccine mandates. He's a Trump supporter, businessman. You know, he's been neck deep in things about the 2020 election. But he says this. He says, all of our employees are busy making pillows right now for the truckers in Canada. And we're going to try and get them through. And I'm not going to say what day, but you know there's going to be obstructionists. Well, he was right. So here's your Alabama connection. You may not realize that there's a thing called the Right Side Broadcasting Network. No affiliation with Right Side Radio. We do know of each other. They are actually, believe it or not, a national organization with a huge following on like a YouTube channel, their social media. They do tons of broadcasting through streaming services, kind of like like Blaze TV or something like that. But Right Side Broadcasting Network is actually based in Auburn, Alabama, believe it or not. Right Side Broadcasting Network has a strong relationship with Mike Lindell. Storyline from Newsweek dated yesterday. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell's mission to deliver pillows to the Canadian Freedom Convoy could be in doubt after a, here we go, unvaccinated conservative media crew covering the delivery was blocked from entering Canada. You guessed it, from Right Side Broadcasting Network from Alabama. Aha! The Alabama connection. They were turned away from the border on Tuesday because a correspondent and crew members inside the vehicle were not vaccinated. One of the reports says they were actually detained for a period of time. So Mike Lindell says, we'll see what happens. We require a permit to go through. They've expedited that on the Canadian side. They expedited it because they were excited to hear what MyPillow was doing because we have a Canadian plant. In his words, they were real enthusiastic that it was MyPillow. So he says that the Canadian plant does not have enough inventory, and so they're shipping more north of the border to support the folks in the Freedom Convoy. If nothing else, here's the other thing that's going to do. It's going to provide a definite boost for people to see the MyPillow truck come up and know that someone out there cares enough about them to just send stuff. All right. Next, you might be surprised at this one. Remember the actor Ricky Schroeder? Ricky Schroeder, who was made famous in like the old show Silver Spoons. He was in, what was that epic Western series called? I'll think of it in a second. Anyway, actor Ricky Schroeder has called on U.S. truckers to shut down Washington over COVID-19 vaccine mandates. He apparently is extremely conservative. He's very outspoken about his Christian faith. And he literally laid it out recently saying, I think what we're seeing here, in his words, is an evil that's trying to be forced upon our children and upon us. And God bless the Canadian truckers and those Canadian cowboys up there on the border. He says our truckers are going to maybe start mobilizing and doing what we need to do, which is shut down D.C., shut down Sacramento, shut down Albany, shut down these states and these capitals until we root out this evil. That's one of your U.S. actors who's a conservative in Hollywood, by the way, Ricky Schroeder. And then lastly, I'll tell you this. Give, Send, Go took the place of what we now learn is a liberal organization called GoFundMe. Give, Send, Go is fighting every way they can to get $9 million into the hands of the truckers that have been raised largely through small donations from U.S. citizens. Big doings, folks. Got to support the fight. And I love seeing this stuff. Thought you might want to know. All right, coming up next, we got my buddy Jeff Poore. We'll be talking politics. Endorsements are flying in. You might be curious, who's endorsing who? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.